It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Is there anything to talk about today? Anything going on? Holy cow. We get hit this morning with Tom Brady on a beach with a selfie video less than a minute long announcing his retirement. It's National Signing Day. I know Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz met the media this afternoon. And, you know, I talked about this off-air, David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com on the show yesterday, in case you missed it. Apparently there were people, I think mostly fans, not reporters, not like colleagues or peers of David's or anything, but people thought that Brian Ferentz would come up, and I have not confirmed, but I mean, of course, Kirk's not going to bring him up. It's a press conference on National Signing Day. So, everybody has signed a great class. That's what you got to know is the main takeaway. But here's the thing. I spoke with UNI football coach Mark Farley last hour. And as you might imagine, a busy day for, you know, college football coaches around the country. Beyond college football, I don't think it's just football signing day, if I'm not mistaken. But with respect to the other sports. But here's the deal with UNI. I've told handful of people this that care to know that in all my years, I think it's going to be year 10 or year 11 covering UNI football this fall, knock on wood that I maintain employment. And in my time covering Mark Farley's program, I find it rather clear. I don't think there's much debate to be had here with respect to the teams that he's had in the time I've been covering his program, that this next year's team, from what I see, has the best shot at winning a national championship of any that I've covered. And in saying that, I think that adds a little intrigue to what the Panthers were set to bring in with a 2023 recruiting class. And unofficially, after speaking with Coach Farley, I think the number is going to end up at 28 or 29, and there's going to be some preferred walk-ons with that. Since I'm on the topic, one thing that, and you'll hear this, I was going to cut up the audio, make it all nice and prim and proper for you, but time crunch kind of happened, and I'm just going to play the raw conversation that we had. It's about 15 minutes long. I'll play it in the next segment. And we also touch on, you know, Rick Nelson coming back to coach the offensive line. Keelan Brookins coming back to coach cornerbacks. He's got some nice things to say about Drew Tate. Of course, the former Iowa quarterback who was on staff as a tight ends coach last year. He's been elevated to a full-time part of the staff. We touch on that, but obviously the lion's share of the conversation is about the recruiting class. One of the things I found most interesting, and I think this could be this has to be something that FCS schools are taking advantage of right now. And it's something that's kind of come up, in a sense, on the show before, where you talk about this transfer portal with football players in particular. I want to say the number at some point was over 3,000 student athletes. I could be wrong on that, but an inordinate amount of players, football players, in that transfer portal, and about half of them, roughly 50%, end up finding a new place to play football with a scholarship. So Coach Farley pointed out in the conversation that, you know, among these signees, that there are what you would probably call some preferred walk-ons out of the portal as well, where they just would not have had a better option, maybe would have been able to get some money, probably not a full scholarship, obviously, to go play, if they could go down to JUCO, if they could go play Division II or Division III for that matter. And so I think, you know, the UNIs of the world, the South Dakotas, the South Dakota States, the Eastern Illinois, Youngstown State, that's going to be the next generation or the preferred walk-on 2.0. Because that is a big part. If anybody out there knows, the preferred walk-on is a big part of the Iowa football program. Has been ever since Kirk Ferentz has gotten there. And a large part of that is, you know, verbal agreements on you're not going to be on scholarship right away. You will be as a redshirt freshman. You will be maybe as a sophomore, or maybe by the time you're an upperclassman, you know, we'll be able to help you financially for coming to play here. And with all these, until the numbers go down, and who knows when the student athletes are going to, you know, kind of correct themselves, if you will. And I'm not necessarily trying to say that they're making egregious mistakes, but there's going to be some regression toward the mean, if you will, on the number of players in the transfer portal. And in the meantime, it sounds like among your traditional recruits that there is, you know, there's some, what would be the word for it? There's just some players to be had out there that might otherwise, like I mentioned, end up back at a D2 or a D3 or going back to play a year of JUCO ball or something like that. So just one part of the conversation today with Coach Farley that you'll hear that I thought was pretty interesting. Quickly just bouncing back to Tom Brady. You know, after the year that he had with Tampa, and I'd said on the show after Tampa lost to Dallas in the first round of the playoffs that that team just wasn't that good. And, of course, that's not all on Tom Brady, but I would imagine that, you know, the idea of going someplace else, because I didn't see Tom Brady going back to Tampa. He made that pretty clear, I thought, in his last press conference after that loss to Dallas, that takes extra energy to go into a new organization, learn a new playbook, and learn new teammates, and to do it all in one season in hopes of winning a Super Bowl. And then maybe he's thinking, you know, I only want to play one more year, but is it really fair to anybody, myself included, to do that someplace else? And at the end of the day, we'll see. I think he's retired for good. I know a lot of people were making jokes about it. He's got that big deal with Fox to go be in the seat Greg Olsen is in. And I think Greg Olsen's done a good job. I think I said just yesterday on the show, he's obviously way better than Tony Romo now. Romo just is annoying. But I think, anyways. And so if Tom Brady wants to kind of keep those juices flowing enough, I would imagine, to keep him from going insane, that he'll be able to do that with Fox. They will cater to him on how he wants to, you know, keep himself involved in the game. And I'm very interested to see how that plays itself out. Also thought it was a big story until Tom Brady retired that the Denver Broncos give up a first and second round pick to the New Orleans Saints to hire Sean Payton. And Sean Payton has this task of getting Russell Wilson right. And I figured he'd just keep cashing them checks from Fox. He was making, I think, like $15 million from Fox and just doing studio work. But I tell you what, these coaches, they can't help themselves. That 80 to 100-hour-a-week grind, they, for some reason, they're getting paid not to coach from getting fired, and then they run right back into the, you know, the quote-unquote fire to do this incredibly hard job with endless hours. And I thought Sean Payton would go back to Fox, and I was surprised that that was the job that he said yes to, was Denver, and two, that Denver goes, yeah, despite the fact that we traded away everything we did, and largely in terms of draft capital for Russell Wilson, let's just double down, give up a couple more great picks, and bring in Sean Payton. So that's why we got Sean Keeler, our friend from the Denver Post, excellent sports columnist and reporter. Sean's going to join us in the third segment of today's show. You'll hear that conversation I had with Mark Farley about his recruiting class and the changes on his coaching staff coming up in the next segment. That's the plan today on the show, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks for being here. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColBear. Check out that website. That's where you get the podcast of this show, all sorts of local and statewide sports content, 1650thefan.com. Bookmark it. Dial me up, 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479 or email me, cole@1650thefan.com. All right, let's dive in. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. Burson at the state dual team wrestling tournament were on the line last night. Regional duels took place across the state in all three classes. In action involving area schools in 3A, Waverly Shell Rock moving on to state after defeating Cedar Rapids Prairie 54-19. In 2A at Manchester, Independence down Dyke New Hartford 56-18, but then lost to West Delaware 41-24. In 1A at Gilbertville, West Hancock overpowered Waterloo Columbus. And then in the finals, Don Bosco got the best of West Hancock. The Dons earn another trip to state. At Lisbon, Wapsie Valley punched its ticket to state, defeating Lisbon 39-30. At Alburnett, Jessup got past MFL Marmac, but fell to Alburnett. And at Nashua Plainfield, NP earned a trip to state, stopping Lake Mills 50-15. The state dual team tournament takes place Saturday at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Last night in Metro basketball games, on the boys' side, Cedar Falls got the best of Cedar Rapids Jefferson, 65-34. Cedar Rapids Kennedy rolled past Waterloo West, 89-48. Des Moines Lincoln slipped past Waterloo East, 76-70. And Dyke New Hartford defeated Waterloo Columbus, 74-57. Meanwhile, in girls' games last night, Cedar Falls down Cedar Rapids Jefferson, 57-29. Waterloo West outscored Cedar Rapids Kennedy, 76-64. Waterloo East won at Des Moines Lincoln, 42-35, and Dyke New Hartford defeated Columbus, 68-21. The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has released its weekly basketball rankings. Area schools in the poll include, in 2A, Dyke New Hartford once again top-ranked as they remain undefeated, while Appleton-Parkersburg is 15th. In 1A, AGWSR is 13th, and in Class 5A, the Cedar Falls Tigers ranked 8th, while the Waterloo West girls remain number 3. The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has also released regional basketball pairings for classes 1A, 2A, and 3A. First round games begin on February 9th, while 2A first round contests start on February 11th. 3A regional quarterfinal games begin on February 11th. The complete schedule can be found at the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union website. Peyton Sanford and Philip Rabracha combined to score 20 points over the final 7 minutes of the game to allow Iowa to pull away from Northwestern for an 86-70 win last night. Sanford hit a career-best 5-of-7 from 3, finished with 20. Rabracha had his 8th double-double of the season with 20 and 10. The Hawkeyes now 14-8 overall and 6-5 in the Big Ten. The 12th-ranked Iowa State women's basketball team looks to extend a 5-game winning streak at Kansas State tonight. The Cyclones are tied with Texas for first place in the Big 12 at 7-2. Wildcats 2-7 in the Big 12. With a win tonight, Iowa State coach Bill Finley would record his 750th of his career. Pregame coverage of this game right here on The Fan at 6 tonight. Opening tip at 6:30. Meanwhile, the UNI women's basketball team hosts Drake tonight at McLeod Center. Panthers are looking for their first in-season sweep of the Bulldogs in 7 years. UNI is in second place in the Valley at 8-2, one game behind Illinois State. Drake, meanwhile, in a three-way tie for third place at 7-3. This one tips off at McLeod Center at 6. Meanwhile, at Knapp Center in Des Moines tonight, the UNI men's basketball team takes on the Bulldogs. UNI, 8-4 in the Missouri Valley. Southern Illinois tied with Belmont for the lead at 9-3 in the MVC. UNI and Drake have split their last 10 meetings. That one tips off at Knapp Center at 8 tonight. The Wartburg basketball teams are at home hosting rival Luther in American Rivers Conference action. The Wartburg women are riding a 9-game win streak and lead the ARC with a 10-0 record. The Knight men have won 4 in a row. They're now 6-4 in league play Women's game starts at 5:30 with the men's game to follow. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we hear from UNI football coach Mark Farley. It's National Signing Day. Coach Farley next on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
And it's sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. There have been a lot of great ones, but Tom Brady's success is unparalleled. And today he announced his retirement, this time for good, after his 23rd season and his first in which he did not have a winning record. His 7 Super Bowl victories, more than any player in history. He won the game's MVP 5 times, also a record. Brady's the NFL's all-time leading passer and holds the record also for most touchdown passes. Brady's former understudy, Jimmy Garoppolo, will hit the free agent market as 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan confirmed he won't be returning to the Niners next season. Tonight's game between the Wizards and Pistons in Detroit has been postponed. The Pistons have been stranded in Dallas because of an ice storm and were unable to fly home. The Celtics own a 2-game lead in the East and will host the Nets tonight. Top-ranked Purdue takes on Penn State. The Boilermakers have won their last 8, and former MVP Breonna Stewart has signed with the New York Liberty in what may be the biggest free agent signing in WNBA history. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Hey, it's DA. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio at home. Ask Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Iowa State basketball is on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Google, play 1650 The Fan.
When it's cold outside, you can dress for it. But when your furnace gives out, hey, a blanket fort can only do so much. So call your local 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll replace your old furnace with a new high-efficiency one. And that beats a bunch of blankets any day. Right now, cozy up to big savings on a complete heating system. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-Hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
When it comes to thinking about retirement, there's lots to get ready for. But nothing more important than spending time doing the things we love for the ones we love. Because at the end of every journey, a new one is just beginning. So this is for the planners, the forward thinkers, and those ready to explore their wide open future. Our wealth management team is here to give you peace of mind for the best years of your life. Start your tomorrow with help from First Bank today.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Updated Super Bowl odds. The Eagles favored by 1.5 over the Chiefs, 49 the over-under. Super Bowl 57 a week from Sunday at State Farm Stadium in Glendale. This Thursday, the Pro Bowl games set to start. Events include golf, kicker, tic-tac-toe, and dodgeball, all culminating with the flag football game Sunday. Super Bowl MVP odds. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts at plus 100. Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes at plus 135. Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce at plus 1100. College basketball tonight. Northern Iowa, an 8-point underdog on the road facing Drake, the over-under 136.5.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 9 above. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 21. Lows dip down to about 11 below. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Friday, with daytime highs approaching 7 above. 36 Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 25.
This is Zach Gelb.
and you're listening to Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader. Next up from 6 to 9 is me. It's the Zach Gelb Show, weeknights right here on 1650 The Fan.
Not so fast, my friend. Zach Gelb, hold on here. What do we got going on? There we go. All right. I was saying, not so fast, my friend, Zach Gelb. We've got Iowa State women's basketball tonight here on The Fan as the Cyclones take on Kansas State. Pregame at 6, tip-off at 6:30. Right now, though, it's National Signing Day. I was able to catch up with UNI football coach Mark Farley. Panthers have big, big goals in mind for their 2023 season, and they have unofficially a class of 28 signees. Also, some new hires on their coaching staff. Caught up with Coach Farley in the 4 o'clock hour. Here's our conversation. What's this number going to end up at? It was 21 for the early period. I have you at 25, but it's probably been about a few hours earlier this morning when I was doing my last bit of homework. So what can you tell us in terms of the number?
This will be 28, 29 by the time we line up next year.
Okay. And overall, when looking at it at 25, I noticed you got plenty of defensive linemen and linebackers in this class. Was there any sort of like effort or emphasis with this class? Just kind of generalize your thoughts about it.
Well, probably the first wave back on the 21st and the first signing, the emphasis was just the program, which was balance, freshman development, that mindset as you went through there, and you've got to get some guys in the development phase if they're going to be great linemen for you in the years to come. So that's where I focused the effort in the first phase. The second phase was, I would call the middle phase, which is about January 2nd through January 18th. Mm-hmm. That was the portal phase. And we probably picked up, seven or eight guys through that portal phase. And I call it a phase because we needed to get them in class, in the classroom for this semester. So there was a big push of getting the guy, finding the guys, recruiting them, and then get them in class by the day after Martin Luther King Day. So that was a wave. And then the third wave of recruiting came to finalize this young class again, to go ahead and go back into the high schools and find out what we still had to find to get and what was available just to finalize the class. So I put it into three phases and thought we did well in all three phases.
The numbers may be a little bit larger now, but at last count, 6 defensive linemen, 6 linebackers. What would you say about the importance of that kind of volume at those positions in this class?
Well, the volume, the first thing I heard was the defensive lineman. There may have been more than what you said.
Sure.
When you look at it. But the way I look at it is, one, exactly. The defensive line was an emphasis because I thought we had good players coming back. We were lean in depth. And you've got to be able to stop the run in this league. You got to be able to play power football. And the best teams that I've ever had great D linemen. So we wanted to reemphasize pass rush and size in our front. And there was a lot of time and effort put into that, whether it's getting young guys to develop. Heck, I was looking at whatever that year we play Iowa and Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
So back when on the 21st, when I was recruiting high school players, man, I was thinking, we're going to play Iowa and Iowa State in whatever, 2025. Well, I need 2 years to get these 4 young defensive linemen big enough, strong enough, and good enough to play Iowa. So we've got to get them in here now and get them ready for when that time comes. But yet at the same time, we want to win next year, and to do that, we need pass rushers and D linemen now. So when I hit the portal, I brought in and emphasized the guys that can immediately come in and help our D line, and that was kind of looking at the processes that we went through it. But where was the other position? You said we took a lot of guys?
A linebacker, it looked like.
I probably didn't take enough of them, but I'm sitting here looking at linebacker, and the big deal about linebackers, absolutely. I just felt that we needed to get the best player in the league. We want the MVP of the league coming out of our linebacker group. He should. He should be able to be that kind of production from him. We've got the scheme. Now we've got to get the guy that can make the plays and be the MVP of the league, because I think out of 23 seasons, we've had a first-team all-conference linebacker 17 times. What I'm looking for is who's going to be, and we've had the MVP 3 times. We want the MVP coming out of this class, And again, they'll be the linebackers in the years to come when the schedules get really stronger than what they are now. So you bet, they're 6'4". They can run at about 6'4", 215 today, and they better be 6'4", 235 mm-hmm. when their time comes and they're at their peak.
Among the transfers, I know on your offensive line, you got Josh Bulk, Xavier kid who had been at Iowa. I have to imagine that that's one of those phase two guys that may well be able to contribute sooner than later.
That's the hope. That's the hope. But, you know, I tell you what, the misconception is a portal guy is going to come in here and start for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the danger as much as that's the benefit of it. Of course we took them to come in and play for us right now. The thing is when these guys are coming in, they've got to come in with a mindset that they're going to have to win the job. There's no gifts, all right? This is he's going to have to beat out some good football players, but it creates competition in our room as soon as these guys walk in the door because you got the current player looking over his shoulder saying, who are you bringing in? He looks like me, and he's big as I am, so how good is he? So it creates competition within your segment, and it also brings that competitiveness to your team. Now, it's either going to make the guys on our team right now better, or he's going to take the position over. Either way, we should get better by taking those types of players.
It sounds like, Mark, that perhaps some of your later additions from the portal would be on the defensive line. All I have for your defensive line are high school prospects plus the kid from Butler Community College, Malik Stewart. Is there any Division I transfers on this D-line?
Yeah, right now we've got Cortez. Okay, Cortez Jones, he's sitting in here. He's a transfer out of K-State. I've got Warren Peoples. He came out of Memphis. And those two guys are two. Cortez is a big, strong defensive tackle, defensive end, young man out of Kansas City. And, God, he really looks good. I hope he plays good. But, man, he's everything I hope he was so far. And then Warren Peoples is a linebacker slash pass rusher we took out of Memphis. And we recruited him years ago out of the JUCO. He's the real deal, too. So, we still got to get him on the field. But he's in class. These guys are in the classroom, and they look like, you know, what we thought they would when they've been with us now. So, because I'm always hesitant about portal guys because they haven't played. So you don't know what you're getting. So you don't get excited just because you hear of a transfer. Get excited because you hear about competition. And then if they are what we think they are, then, yeah, there's a lot of upside. And right now, Cortez and Peoples look like what we think they are.
Among, call it 28 signees, Mark, how many would you estimate or be able to tell me are early enrollees? That continues to be more and more popular.
I wasn't going to take them unless they were early. That's why, remember I said the second phase was January 2nd through January 18th?
Right.
The run was get them here now. If we're going to take them, let's get them so they can learn our way. They just have to, they need, it's hard to get a guy acclimated in just the summer. It can be done, but you don't want to do it too often. And there was a race to get them in, and the priority was let's get them here in January so we can see what we got and we can build them and create, a UNI Panther football player, not just a football player. So at the end of the day, I believe there's probably, and I'm guessing here a little bit,
it's
7 and 9. That came in at the semester.
Okay.
They're not all signees. There's actually 3 walk-ons as well that came out of the transfer portal.
Okay.
But, there's some of those guys too. But I'd say seven and nine.
How important is also evaluating walk-ons in that transfer portal? That's something that is never talked about, but everybody's doing that too.
Well, I'm learning as we go here. We're all learning in the process. And what happened in the portal, these are just quick numbers that are off the cuff, so they're not scientifically exact, but about 50% of the guys that go in the portal are getting scholarships. That's the ones we're reading about. 50% are not getting scholarships, and they're good players out there, so they're getting caught in the system. So we did take some walk-ons that this was their best option. Otherwise, they were going to have to go play somewhere else, maybe in a Division II. So I believe we picked up some good preferred walk-ons, if you want to call them that,
mm-hmm.
That can come in and compete, and then we'll see what they do. But again, that part of the process is also, I think you're going to hear more about as you progress in this portal system.
Everybody's always going to look at any quarterbacks that you bring in, and you brought in an in-state prospect in Braylon Camrad from Lewis Central over there in Council Bluffs. He had a really nice senior season, led them to that state title game where they lost a really good Xavier team. What can you tell us about Braylon?
Here's the deal on Braylon, okay? I've got great hope and great belief in Braylon for the intangibles. It's obvious he won championships, and everybody can read about his accolades. They're all over the place. What I see is his intangibles, and that's where I see great upside. He is a wrestler, a state finalist in wrestling, a state and wrestled down there. Mm-hmm. He's in football. He's in track. He's going to be in the championship rounds, whether he wins it or not. He's going to be in the championship round every year he's been there. He's the son of a head coach that came out of the same system as the TCU quarterback. I mean, this guy is grown up around football, and he's the closest thing to Eric Sanders from start to finish is what I've seen over the years, because it's the intangibles that separate him. His numbers, we'll find out if he can sustain his numbers in college, mm-hmm. but his intangibles are unquestionable, his strength, in my opinion, and he's got great talent.
Just a couple more, Mark. I want to ask you about bringing Coach Nelson and Keelon Brookins back onto your staff. I mean, obviously Ryan made a really large impact on the program, evidenced by him getting a job at Iowa State. But, I mean, it looks like a couple of great rehires, if you will, there, getting Rick and Keelon back.
It's awesome. It's not just good, it's great. And I say that because, you know, losing Ryan, when we lost Rick Nelson, man, that was hard to replace, mm-hmm. and we didn't get it done right away. So it created a dent in the program. But then we got Ryan, and all of a sudden it became a strength again. Well, I was worried when Ryan left because it was a matter of time. Ryan's a great coach, great recruit, mm-hmm. and he was in his sixth or seventh year. I mean, the guy had been here long enough that, yeah, it was his time. And he got a great opportunity, and you know, so be it. Now he's on the other end of the field against us. But what I'd say is, bringing Rick back in, we don't lose a beat. We went right back to, you know, Rick's got five guys in the NFL, so that phase is covered. And yet all the talent, what he teaches, I mean, we didn't miss a beat. We're smooth in rhythm and stepping forward. Same way with Keelon. Keelon comes back, he knows our verbiage, he knows our players, he knows he's a great recruiter. He's a UNI guy. I mean, they have the things that you can't teach kind of instilled in them from being here, and yet they have the talent as a teacher to help us get better.
How about Rick molding with Bodie? Because, you know, so much of the talk last year was Ryan and Bodie and Joe collaborating with the new offense. What's it been like for Rick here in the early going, you know, getting where he needs to be to work alongside, work productively with Bodie in this offense?
Oh, man, I actually think it'll be better. Because Rick brings a whole nother expertise to it than what Ryan did. Ryan was learning on the run, too. And, you know, they had to kind of gel the two systems to figure out their system. And we created our own offense, okay, our own identity. And that was the key to the season. And then now the identity is there, the system is there. Now it's adapt the coaching styles and the techniques to make it better. So I'm excited about it, so it's a big deal. And just as a side note, too,
yeah.
What's cool about it is, you know, we lost Ryan, and you know what? Ryan's family, man, so more power to him. We're happy for him, but heck, you guys remember Pat McCann? I don't know if you remember that name.
Oh, yeah.
So Pat McCann, he just became the offensive coordinator for Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
And I was texting back and forth with him. The guys that have left here, they got their opportunity through here, and now they just kind of took what was instilled by going through here and applied it to their own systems. And they were always good. Now they're creating their own path, and Ryan will create his. So it's just as proud for us to have an NFL guy as it is to have a BCS coordinator come out of here, or head coach or whatever, mm-hmm. because there's a little Panther in them that helped them get there. And they did it themselves, but there's a touch of Panther out there. And so we're doing a lot of good things, and we'll get these. You got Keelon back in here, up and comer. You got Rick, a guy that's been around, and then you got Drew Tate sitting back there. That he's got. Don't count out Drew Tate, man. That guy did a lot of things that people didn't see.
There you have it. A conversation with UNI football coach Mark Farley earlier today regarding his 2023 signing class. It is signing day, as well as new hires on the coaching staff there. And just some information real quick. Coach Farley had told me Saturday, April 22nd is what they have in mind for a spring game, which would mean that practices would start on Monday, March 13th. So spring football, not too far away as well. So there you go. A little bit of college football for you. It's gone, but it's always there. Let's take this next time out. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports and come back on the other side with our friend Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. Sean Payton, the new guy for the Broncos. Tom Brady retires. A lot to talk about on the national sports scene. We'll do it with Sean next right here on 1650 The Fan.
Radio Iowa Sports, good afternoon. I'm Tim Fisher. We'll start with men's basketball, where it's a showdown in the Missouri Valley Conference tonight at the Knapp Center. So the Drake Bulldogs play host to the UNI Panthers. Both teams come in at 8-4 in the Valley. The Bulldogs have won 3 straight. The Panthers fell in their last time out. Tip off tonight from the Knapp Center for Drake and UNI, set for 8 o'clock. Elsewhere, the Iowa Hawkeyes last night picked up a second straight victory, knocking off Northwestern 86-70. The Hawks back in action on Saturday, hosting Illinois. Iowa State back at work, trying to snap a 2-game losing skid as they will entertain Kansas on Saturday. Women's college basketball on the schedule tonight. 12th-ranked Iowa State looks to extend a 4-game winning streak on the road at Kansas State, while Drake and UNI battle in Cedar Falls. I'm Tim Fisher, Radio Iowa Sports.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night.
Oh, no worries.
And every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect their children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 86. This is how you say, "Gee Willikers, it's a hot one." Let's cool down with some Bud Lights. That's it for today. Bud Light. Crisp.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra. The perfect balance of taste and refreshment and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Love streaming movies? You'll love Waverly Utilities Internet. What's not to love about streaming movies? Pop some popcorn, cuddle on your couch, and watch whatever your heart desires through a streaming service from Waverly Utilities. The last thing you need as a movie buff is buffering. To avoid the dreaded buffering wheel showing up on the screen, sign up for one of Waverly Utilities' super fast and reliable internet plans today.
Making life better, making life easier.
You're listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan. And you're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, weekdays 5 to 6.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues. We have located the man, the myth, the legend, Sean Keeler. As it's all going on. National Signing Day. In Sean's area, I mean, that's everywhere. Then you got the Broncos hiring Sean Payton. Then Tom Brady says, "Hold my beer, I'm retiring again." Sean, let's start with Tom Brady. One, do you think it's official this time? And two, do you expect him in to be good in that whatever role he's going to be in with Fox Sports?
Yeah, I'll tell you the only hint of why I think, because it has a local tie, the only reason I think this might be for real, is that Fox has a roster opening.
Sean Payton, he's gone.
Yeah, he's here. So you do the math on that one. I'm not, I'm no genius on math, but that would seem to tell me, and certainly if he's making Sean Payton TV money, which would, a lot better than yours or mine, my friend.
Yeah.
That seems to kind of fall in line, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I just got the feeling that after the year Tampa had, Brady's probably going, if I don't quite have enough, and he was going to need, I think, more than enough in all areas, because I didn't get the impression he was going back to Tampa. And that's not easy. That's probably understated how difficult it is to go into a new organization, and then everywhere he's going to go is going to be Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, and there was some talk that maybe, the Raiders or the Niners would dangle that out there. I think, assuming Brock Purdy gets his elbow back, I think the Niners have got enough guys there, Sunday notwithstanding, of a complete fluke situation, that they're going to be able to figure that out to at least a competitive level with little Shanny. Kyle Shanahan and the Raiders. Would you rather work for Fox or work for Mark Davis? I think as somebody who used to work for Fox, and take it or leave it. I think that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, rhetorical question there. I think is what was implied. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Sean, you had written at one point a column that hey, the Broncos shouldn't give up this King's ransom that the Saints are asking for. And as much as I'd love to disagree with anything that you write, I couldn't disagree with that. And,
well, no, let me clarify the King's ransom. I don't want to interrupt your point. As I said, he's not worth two firsts.
You did. And
so let's be clear. But he didn't get cost two firsts.
It's a first and a second. So is everybody that much cooler with it now because that changed?
No, it's actually... I think it's about 55-45 pro. Does that make sense? Like, it's a way more split than I thought it would be, but I also understand it. I think they're the two overriding concerns are the cost, and if you add his price tag to Russell Wilson's price tag, people get very, very uncomfortable with that discussion because it's like three firsts, two seconds, and like Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, Drew Lock, and like it is a massive haul for two. It's like a 7-for-2 trade. And regardless of what you think of Drew Lock, and I don't think much of him, I'm not as big a fan of Noah Fant as a pro as I was when he was a Hawkeye. But that's a lot, and that and the bounty gate are kind of recircling here. I don't know. I've been sold this. When you make a big blockbuster deal like that to give up that many picks for Russ and it blows up in your face, people are going to be wary. And if they go 0-for-2 with that, it's going to be – I don't think they will. I think this will be – it'd be hard to be worse than what they get out of Russ.
Yeah.
I think they'll get something much better. But if you're 0-for-2 with that kind of capital given up, a lot of people will be fired, and the ownership's going to have to start this all over again.
Yeah, it could get really ugly if it doesn't work out, that's for sure. But I will say this, and I'm the last guy, Sean, that's ever going to try to explain why I think the Denver Broncos will be good or will be better. But I just see what Drew Brees did in Sean Payton's offense as a smaller quarterback who didn't have the strongest arm. And I think there's something to be said for Russell Wilson's arm not being what it was a half decade ago. He's obviously another smaller quarterback. Sean Payton's one of the most respected offensive minds in the game. And a big part of his offense has been he runs a better screen pass game than any coach I've ever seen. And those are layup throws. They're supposed to be layup throws. And I just, on paper, Sean, I see how this could work. I can understand the fatalism as it relates to all the capital that's gone outwards, but on paper, I don't. I mean, I like it. I don't even not hate it. I like it.
Yeah, I would say a good way to put it fairly, it's a painful, logical move. He was the best guy in this cycle, or the second best. I like Harbaugh better, but for the same reason. They were the two most proven big-money guys you were going to get. You got the best coach on the market that came out. That's the best you could do with this. You could have walked away. You could have handed this all back to Jerry Rossberg, the interim, and said, because even that was floated at one point, let's try again. And run it back, and then pump the year and say, maybe we'll go 7-10 playing like this, and then we're 1 year closer to moving on from this rough anchor. Ugh. They didn't do that. They're going for broke. They went for the most expensive guy in the market again, but this one I think has a better – it's about getting a better floor and getting a proven guy who has a better floor. I think they're in such a tough division that it's going to be it's a hard read, but I feel better about this a little bit than I did about Russ, although I felt awfully good about Russ last March. So what do any of us know?
Yeah, not a whole lot. For some reason, though, they let us talk and write about it, so I'll take it.
Hey, I got a question for you before we wrap.
Okay.
How's that hunt for that new Iowa Hawkeyes offensive coordinator going?
Oh. it's not. I mean.
It didn't?
No.
You mean Kirk Ferentz sort of been told everyone to go jump who got on his son's case?
Look at you.
No.
We were riding National Signing Day vibes earlier here, and then you come in and you drop this bomb. You just jump on this grenade.
All I'm saying is it came across my Twitter feed, and it was one of the highlights of my day because I don't have to deal with it anymore. But whatever you think of Kirk Ferentz, there is something nice about having a man so predictable you can set your watch to him and it never changes.
I know that you're the leader of the fan club, Sean. You can't run away from that.
Oh, only from a distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a bad marriage. You're like, oh, that was great. I'm not going there again.
The auxiliary fan club.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, before I let you go, I know you got to run. We can talk Super Bowl hopefully next week, but on a level of 1 to 10, how fired up are you for the Flag Football Pro Bowl?
Four. Then we'll have to write about it because Peyton Manning's involved. By the way, there's so many Peytons in this town now with the Broncos.
Oh.
It's confusing. I'm gonna need to get a map to sort all this out. But it's been good.
That's a multi-gender name too. They got to be absolutely everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So we got a Peyton with an AT, a Peyton with an EY, and now a Peyton with an AY. And to hell with it.
I bet someone's even sneaking an H in there somewhere with those.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Same. All right. Get out of here. Take care.
All right. Bye, buddy. See you.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Colin Company. All right. Let's take this final time out here. We'll get you an NFL Network update. Today's memorable moment in NFL postseason history from Westwood One. It involves a former UNI quarterback. You could probably guess who. We'll also get you Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time and wrap up the show.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. We had a trade in the NFL, and it wasn't for a player. The Broncos agreed to send a 2023 first-round pick and a 2024 second-rounder to the Saints for the rights to hire Sean Payton as their next head coach. Payton already sounds like a big fan of Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson, telling NOLA.com, quote, "Russell's a hard worker and has played at a high level and won a lot of games in this league. I'm excited about him." The Texans also found their new head coach, and he's a familiar face, D'Amico Ryans. The now former Niners defensive coordinator played linebacker for the Texans for 6 seasons, going to the Pro Bowl twice. Under Ryans, the Niners had the top-ranked defense in the league. San Francisco moving quickly to try and replace Ryans. They requested an interview with former Panthers interim head coach Steve Wilks for their D coordinator job. Wilks went 6-6 after Carolina fired Matt Rhule following a 1-4 start. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
1650 The Fan has been bringing you coverage of high school athletics for over 25 years. And we're proud to continue, thanks in part to these sponsors.
Advanced Diagnostic Imaging in Waterloo is proud to help bring you this coverage of postseason play. When your doctor orders an imaging procedure, insist on more. Insist on ADI.
Community Buick GMC in Waterloo, open for business and ready to help. Good luck to the Columbus Sailors and all of the teams in the Cedar Valley in the state tournament.
Wartburg College recognizes that success comes with hard work. Congratulations to all our area athletes. Wartburg College, worth it.
I'm Roger Klinkfuss from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. When your vehicle needs service, we'll be here for you. Come see us on West 10th Street, just off 218 Waterloo.
First Maxfield Mutual Insurance provides its homeowners with valuable products, stable rates, and prompt personal service. Proud to support the area young men and women in extracurricular activities. First Maxfield Mutual Insurance in Denver.
Ever listen to your own heart beating? It's amazing. But what if this thing that's always working stopped working? The Allen Hospital Heart and Vascular Center is open around the clock to fix problems like this. Expert cardiologists and specially trained teams offer comprehensive cardiovascular services to help prevent heart disease, diagnose symptoms, and perform open heart surgery right here in the Cedar Valley. Everyone has a heart that's always working, and we celebrate all of them during Heart Month at Allen Hospital.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Denver Broncos went all in last offseason in order to secure Russell Wilson. The trade helped make the Broncos a popular Super Bowl pick. The team featured multiple dangerous weapons on offense and a talented defense that finished just outside the top 10 in points per game. But unfortunately for Denver, Wilson wasn't as advertised. That made the multiple first-round picks in exchange for the quarterback a hard pill to swallow. In order to right the ship, the Broncos fired head coach Nathaniel Hackett after 15 games. And yesterday, the team shipped off a first-round pick and second-round pick in exchange for Sean Payton. Payton is an elite offensive coach and a proven winner. That should help Denver improve the league's worst-scoring offense. But with little to no draft capital in the future, it's going to be tough in a loaded AFC West, suddenly leaving zero room for error as the team continues to scramble to rebuild a contender. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more. Discover.com/online privacy protection. That's discover.com/online privacy protection. Football weather is here. Freezing temperatures, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires ready to tackle winter's worst? Well, the experts at TireRack.com will get your vehicle ready for primetime. They sell tires that dominate winter, like the Yokohama Ice Guard. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Test results, tire ratings, consumer reviews, all the stats you need to make the right call. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Don't miss the largest indoor ag expo in Iowa happening soon at the Iowa Event Center in Des Moines. Innovation, technology, robotics, biologicals, regenerative ag, big iron, seed, chem, tools, tires, and more. Everything you need to increase profits, lower costs, and improve the way you farm. Check it out January 31st through February 2nd at the Iowa Event Center. Register online at iowaagexpo.com to get your tickets in advance and save $5. Sponsored in part by Farm Credit Services of America and Ag Direct.
Good morning and hallelujah!
Watch it.
My spray and pray days are over!
What's with Randy?
Oh, he's just amped.
Weed field heaven!
Amped?
Yeah, he ordered that new Battalion AMP herbicide from UPL. They're calling it the new gold standard.
This is the greatest day in herbicidal history!
So, how can I
get amped? Just go to battalionamp.com.
It's gonna be a good year!
Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday. Got to thank Sean Keeler of the Denver Post and UNI football coach Mark Farley for their contributions to today's show. All right, just some final thoughts today. You know, Sean had a little quick window there with us and wasn't, you know, able to chop it up with him like I usually would prefer to. But, man, I think Sean Payton is a good hire for Denver. It's just salt in the wound when you think about all they gave up for Russell Wilson, what he looked like last season, and then having to give up a first and second rounder. Did not turn out to be a first and a first like it was thought to be, or at least that was the original ask by the Saints when Sean Payton made it clear that his intention was to come back. So a lot of pressure there in Denver, of course, but I believe what I said. I meant it, that I think what Sean Payton has in terms of how he runs his offense and what Russell Wilson's still capable of, it seems like a good fit to me, but what the hell do I know? All right, we've got Iowa State women's basketball coming up here after news and weather at the end of the hour. 6 o'clock pregame, Iowa State women in the Little Apple to take on Kansas State. 6:30, the tip-off of that one. I'll be headed to McLeod Center after this to watch the UNI women take on Drake, and then when I'm done there, scurry on home and watch probably the most of the second half, or all the second half, I'd hope, of UNI men in Des Moines taking on Drake. That's an 8 o'clock tip tonight at Knapp Center. So a lot of hoop to watch tonight. Got all sorts of choices. All right, that's a wrap, everybody, for this Wednesday. Have a great night. I'll catch up with you tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.